It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, I don't got anything for it to open today, so you do it.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to
No.
Oh, I got to have a little thing I talk about.
Before that, yeah, no, I can still handle that.
Darn it.
Also, okay. You do it this way.
No, you do it that way.
They died to my point. I'm going to sit here and have a beer.
So.
It's not. It's actually a Mountain Dew Spark, which is blackberry lemonade, no, raspberry lemonade flavored Mountain Dew. Kind of tastes like Mountain Dew.
Hello, sorry, everyone. Man. Welcome.
No,
to-
no.
Well, I thought you just did it. I thought you just did the cold beer opening. So also, I was going to.
Also, you're doing a voice when you do it. And I'm extremely curious what that voice is about. I feel like I very much feel judged by that voice. I very much feel like if Tony was a Muppet, this is what he would sound like.
Well, it's not that much of a voice.
To be fair, it does kind of sound like what I would sound like if I was a Muppet, I suspect.
You know, that's what people say about all my impersonations. Hey, you sound like so-and-so as a Muppet.
Apparently you maybe only do some, Muppet voices.
Yeah, maybe there's something to it.
Very early episode of The Simpsons, back in the day when people still liked it, they were watching a Troy McClure Muppets movie. It was a medieval film of some sort, and one of the kids turns to Homer and says, "Dad, what's a Muppet?" And he's like, "Well, it's not quite a mop and it's not quite a puppet, but it," and then he got distracted by something. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that you get with a million monkeys, but only one typewriter. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 576.
And in case you're confused, you're the typewriter.
Oh. And you're the million monkeys?
I'm a million monkeys. That sounds like a line from my Lost presidential acceptance speech. I am a million monkeys! For those of you joining us, don't expect this high level of energy throughout. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People used to write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And then the hat would magically forward those to us, and we would read them and talk about them. But we're down to one question in there, so we may have a wholly new format by next week.
Who knows?
Something involving candle making, I think. Just a guess.
Okay. That's good.
I'm kind of pissed off at separation. Severance. See, for some reason in my head, I keep wanting to call the show Desperation. I have no idea why. I literally have no idea, but Severance. And so I think Separation was my in-between, I think. But Severance, I'm very upset with Severance.
Why is that?
Because we are 7 out of 9 episodes. No, we are 6 out of, I don't know. We've only got a couple episodes left. There is no way in hell they are resolving any of this.
Probably not.
They are going to leave all of it hanging for what I think they are getting a second season. So that's good. But I'm like, God damn it. You're not going to answer any of the questions. I am displeased.
What makes it so interesting, though? I mean, like every time they throw you a curveball, it's like.
No, I think the bigger question is what makes it so interesting to you and I and disconcerting to other people? Because like Trish is still watching it, but Trish can only watch one episode a day because she needs to process. And I think I figured out part of what that is. Because I, like I said, and I told you, I had another friend who had to stop watching it because it was too dark. And this is a friend who watches way darker shit than I do. But I think I took to what it is, at least in part. There is a not so subtle metaphor for working in a corporate culture.
Yeah.
And having to sort of put on a face of a different person or whatever. And it's something that you and I do not live with any longer.
That's true.
And so I think in certain ways, a lot of people, this reminds them uncomfortably of aspects of it. And to that degree also, you haven't done it for a long time, but I also, in an actual corporate structure, never achieved the levels of management where you sort of have to do that kind of thing. I was in management, but I was in management under privately owned small, usually family companies. So it was less of a thing, but that whole where you sort of have to create another persona for while you're at work almost is not a thing that ever touched me. And while I think you may have bumped up against it, it was a very long time ago. And actually might have been part of why you left the workforce. So I think this resonates in an uncomfortable way with a lot of people, of which you and I don't have that. Because I just think a lot of it is hilarious.
Well, one issue that I kind of have with it is I'm not sure. Like, I think one thing that's fascinating to me about it is, you know, sometimes when you watch things like this and there's a lot of crazy things that happen, for some reason you get the impression they're just pulling it all out of the air. But then other times you feel like, no, they have like a rich world they've built here and they're just giving you little pieces of it. I don't know how any of us tell the difference, or maybe we can't tell the difference. We just think we can. And I think that's what fascinates me about the show, is it's like this story is being told in a way that makes me feel like, you know, they're not just making it up as they go. They know what they're doing.
I would agree. The fact that you put that out there now makes me uncomfortable that maybe that's not true. But you're right. I do. Well, and I'll tell you part of why. And I find this very interesting. The opening credits are saying a great deal that I don't know yet. I mean, there are bits. I'm like, oh, that's to that. And that's clearly sort of metaphorical. But there's certain things that I'm like, no, that's a thing. Although I say that, we recently watched Foundation. The one immutable way in which that show sucks is those opening credits promise a show that does not. That's not what that show is. And even Trish, who kind of likes the show, is like, I am way more interested in whatever the hell the show is that those opening credits are.
Yeah,
it's also a huge ripoff of the His Dark Materials credits, which I find odd. It's like very obviously and starkly taking from the His Dark Materials credits, which are not the His Dark Materials credits actually match the show and thematically and the stuff in it. Like in that one, I'm like,
Do you think, just getting back to Severance here, do you think anyone would do that? I mean, one of the problems I have with the show is I can understand a company, especially one that has secrets, wanting to employees to do it. But I'm not sure I get the motivation of the people who are undergoing the seizure. That doesn't seem like something people would do. And like the main character, his motivation is supposedly connected to mourning his wife, and I have no idea how that relates. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It is tenuous, but in that case, I think it's just there's a chunk of the day I don't have to think about it because I'm not thinking about anything.
But he doesn't know he's not thinking about it.
Yeah, but it's about perception. If I get severed, I just have 8 hours a day that don't exist for me. I don't have a job. I get paid for doing nothing.
Well, and I know eight hours of time.
Yeah, that otherwise would be stuck in a job.
I guess. So it's like I can forget about my wife while I'm asleep and while I'm at work. So I only have to deal with.
I think that is the argument the show is putting forth. And I agree. I think it's a tenuous one, but it's a tenuous one, whether or not that's effective. I don't think it's as tenuous that someone who was grieving would come to that conclusion.
I mean, okay, sure.
As to whether or not one would get severed, initially I would have. The show has brought up some things that admittedly were not too hard to grasp, but I just hadn't thought of it at the time. But originally when it was suggested, I was like, oh yeah, totally. Because again, getting paid to not have to do a job.
I mean, there are fun things about work. I mean, there are. We wouldn't be doing this podcast if we were severed.
Yes. However, I am very happy that I don't have a job now.
Sure, but
it kind of depends on what the job is. Also, we don't factor in how much it actually pays. I mean, there's other factors, but the idea of work not being something you enjoy, and so you can essentially just skip it. It's essentially fast forwarding through the part of your day you don't like. And I mean, you can grasp the idea there are people who really hate their jobs, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
So it's just being able to get around that. Now, it gets into some very serious metaphysical and existential crises that I think ruin it for me. And we're also getting young, because I just recently was like, they work really hard in this show to keep everybody in the dark who's working there while they're working there. That is counterintuitive to me, because the whole point is they're severed. Whatever happens in here, they won't remember outside of here. So you can let them in on all of it, can't you? Unless it's really shitty, you don't want them to know. But I was like, that's you're doubling up for no reason. If you're gonna keep them in the dark about who's there and what they're doing and why they're doing it, you don't need to sever them. And if you sever them, you don't need to keep them in the dark, because as soon as they leave, it all goes away.
Yeah,
but there's clearly more to it than that. I don't want to spoil things. Here's what I am going to say. There are two characters in this show played by actors with which we are all familiar. There's quite a lot of actors we're all familiar with in here, but there are two played by actors with whom we are all familiar. This show has caused me to realize something about myself I have never known before, which is apparently all I want in life is to see these two actors kiss. And it's looking like they might, but I don't know for sure. But this show has put in my head, this is what I've been missing. Like, I will be able to stop going to therapy if I can see this. Like, this will solve all of my life's problems. And I never had any idea. And you're laughing because you know exactly who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who and what you're talking about.
Yes.
I also know exactly whether or not you're going to be able to.
Of course. And I find myself wondering a lot. But I was the first time there was a hint of anything, I was like, oh my God, I want those two to kiss. And I never knew how badly I want those two to kiss. I say it a lot. I think Trish gets annoyed.
It's sweet though, right?
Well, and I've also said that I also have discovered that apparently my adolescent self had more involved feelings about Patricia Arquette than I realized.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that before.
Yes, I said something about Patricia Arquette in this show that I was like, wow, that was definitely an inside thought. Even to my wife, I'm like, that didn't need to be said out loud. And apparently I had a lot more feelings as an adolescent about Patricia Arquette than I thought I did. She's amazing. Everybody's amazing. Performances are incredible.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Across the board. Real great performances. And it really is black comedy at its finest. Like, this show is dark as fuck. One episode had to have a viewer warning at the front for good reason.
I mean,
and yet it's hilarious. It's so funny to me.
It's such a unusual setting and everything is strange and you wonder if the actors even know where this is all going, which means it presents probably the biggest challenge to making an authentic character that an actor could have. And yet they're all doing it.
And it's super tight.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I think I'm catching something that's inconsistent. And then like three scenes later, I'm like, oh no, it was supposed to seem inconsistent. 'Cause this is why it's like that. Adam Scott is blowing me away.
I know. He's so good. I can't believe it.
Well, and you especially. I mean, I've always been a fan of his, but this by far a more nuanced thing than I've ever seen him do. And he does a great job.
Really good job.
I really like the dude who's playing Dylan, but to be fair, I've liked him before, and I've seen him in a handful of things now, and he always plays this guy, so it's not... The woman playing Helena, I don't know how I feel about that character, but that actress is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in it, but we shouldn't be talking about that.
Should we talk about Our Flag Means Death?
Abby, no, that's on the list. I'm very excited about that.
I'm very excited about that.
We actually just started season 3 of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but I want to get on Our Flag Means Death. No, what we need to talk about is Trish and I have finally, for the cost of $20 and the ignominy of owning it on Amazon, have seen Spider-Man No Way Go Over the House.
Oh, okay. Good.
I thought you and I were going to get into it a little bit at IHOP, but then I had to cancel that because there are spoilery things that we can't discuss here, but we have finally seen it. Spider-Man, No Way, Go Over the House.
Yeah. Are you going to talk about it then? We all want to know what you thought.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
I mean, do you like MCU movies? You'll probably like this. It has a clever idea. It has a lot of great performances because it pulled in a lot of interesting actors. It's too long. And this is one of those where I'm like, I even know where it's like, I could cut this down personally. I know what to edit out. It is somewhat an original idea. And I kind of like that. And I like the performances. The very ending cannot be thought about for more than 5 seconds or you will realize it makes zero sense and is a fucking mess. And I honestly think the ending of this movie is going to be one of the tent poles that holds up the next phase of the MCU. So it's kind of sad that it doesn't make sense if you think about it for more than 5 seconds. That is disappointing. I'm also disappointed. They had a mid-credits sequence, of course, and it was pretty funny. And the guy playing the bartender in that, Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso. Football is live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was happy to see him doing something, but that was fun and cute, whatever. I imagine nothing will come of it. The end credits stinger was just the trailer for the next Doctor Strange. It wasn't, I mean, I know they're all kind of trailers for new movies, but this was literally the trailer for the next Doctor Strange movie, because I had seen that trailer and it was the same damn thing. And I was like, you have given up, Marvel. Why are you still doing these if you're not going to bother to actually create something? You're just showing us a literal trailer for the next movie. So that being said, I am actually excited about the new Doctor Strange, unlike I've been for most of these. I have to say, there is... All right. Can we do this? Can we talk about who's in this movie?
I mean, seems like that's something that was talked about, but maybe there are some things people don't know. I don't know.
I'm doing it. Suck it up, people, if you didn't know. I mean, the trailer gives a premise. So we pull in from other universes. So there's a bunch of different villains from the other Spider-Man movies. And also, we've got the other Spider-Man. So we have three different Spider-Mans in this. Not enter the Spider-Verse ones. The Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man are here. And the reason I bring this up is for two things. And these are the two most important things about this for me. There is a scene where the three Spider-Men are hanging out, essentially waiting for something that's going to happen. It is far and away my favorite scene in this movie. It tickled me to death. They're just hanging out, talking about their various Spider-Manning experiences, about the fact that Tobey Maguire naturally shoots webs and the other two have to have devices to do it. And that whole scene, it was wonderful. It was very sort of mumblecore, but I really loved it. I really enjoyed that scene more than anything else in the movie. And also, I have no idea if his performance in this is any indication of his performance in his films, but Andrew Garfield's performance in this movie made me this close to wanting to go see the two amazing Spider-Man movies. I really enjoyed him in this. And those are the movies that the consensus seems to be they are the suckiest Spider-Man movies. And it almost, he is a delight, in my opinion. As per usual, Willem Dafoe steals everything. And Alfred Molina isn't trying real hard, but does great. I love to see Thomas Hayden Church get work. Jamie Foxx is Jamie Foxx all over the place. And I always forget who the other dude is, but there's another dude in this. Yeah, what were your thoughts now that we're here and can talk about it? Because I've seen it.
Abby really liked it.
You seem to disagree with my assessment of that one scene.
I'm having a hard time remembering.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure it was great, but I don't really remember it. I mean, I thought it was fine. I don't know. I don't think I liked it as much as Abby did. She thought it had some strong positive themes in it, you know, things that she appreciated, that she likes to see in superhero movies in general. And I could appreciate some of that stuff too. But yeah, now that you mentioned it, I thought it was a little long too.
I have an issue, as we have mentioned before, with stories whose entire conflict is based around the fact that people couldn't sit still for 2 minutes and have a conversation. And this movie has this hardcore. Like everything that happened. This movie is, I mean, and I've seen other, this movie is one of the greatest arguments for tracking down and destroying every superhuman on the planet. Because this movie has interdimensional repercussions based entirely on a stupid decision. And I don't mean a rash decision or an emotional decision. I mean decisions where people are like, I understand the circumstance. I understand what is involved. I understand that what I would like to do is impossible. And even if it would work, would cause far more harm than good. But I will literally fight you for my right to make this terrible decision. And I hate that so much. I have a very, very obvious point in my book where I cheat because somebody's having a conversation and it gets interrupted. And it gets interrupted in just such a way as to cause a major miscommunication. And that is to stretch out the drama till the end of the book. And it's a hacky move. But it does not cause the central conflict of my story. I did not take the plot of Three's Company and turn it into a world spanning 2.5 hour superhero action epic. And I fucking hate that. And this movie does that. So I don't enjoy that part. It's a big fan. I'm trying to find a non-gross sexual term for it. There is a great deal of fan service in this. So much of this movie is like, remember this? Here's the thing. Here's a joke about this. It wouldn't be good if we didn't have this. So we're gonna put this here. And there is so much of that. And I didn't mind. It's fun, but it's very blatant. Pandering, there's the good word for it. It's a lot of pandering to the audience, I thought. So it seems to have had little impact on you. I always forget you're not that into Spider-Man. In my head, you should be into Spider-Man.
Why is that?
I don't know entirely. I think both Spider-Man and Batman, to me, their central character is that of largely self-imposed martyrdom. To me, and I know that is not true for everybody, and I very well could be wrong. But in my head, I think it's part of why I don't like either of them, is they both are like, oh, my life is so hard, due largely to shit that I do to myself to make it hard that I don't need to. Oh, the drama. That's how I look at both of them. So in my head, you're super into Batman. Why would you not be into Spider-Man? Because he also, in my head, is defined purely by this one annoying trait. So when I say it out loud, it does seem silly, but in my head and on paper, they're also drastically different. So I don't know why I would think that, but that's the thing that sticks with me about both of them. So
even if they were the same that way, if I also happen to not like that about Batman, there's things I don't like about Batman.
Well, also, it would be weird if that was the thing you did. You're like, I'm really into Batman. Why are you into Batman? I love his self-imposed martyrdom. It's just awesome. I want to find that person. If you love Batman and or Spider-Man, specifically for their self-imposed unnecessary martyrdom, tell us on the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. Because I would be fascinated by that. Still playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, you are, huh?
I'm even watching YouTube videos with like tips and shit.
Really?
Yes. I have come. I'm trying to deal with a couple of things. One is reminding myself that there is no thing I should be doing. There is just so much. It's an ADHD person's nightmare or dream. I'm not sure which. Like, I'm constantly like, oh shit, wasn't I working? No, I got distracted by this thing. Because there's just so many things to be doing. And so I have to remind myself, like, I should be doing what the part I enjoy, whatever that happens to be in the moment. Rather than being like, oh, I really should move forward on this part, or I should get to here, or whatever. And then the other thing is accepting the fact that, like, I'm not going to do all the stuff I want to fast. Because, again, there is so much stuff. Like, if I want to do all the stuff I have planned to do, it's going to be months or years of time. So I just gotta, because I keep feeling here, I'm like, oh, I want to get to max level. Oh, I want to deal with my crafting stuff. Oh, I want to explore this. And it's too much at once. I need to be like, what sounds fun today?
Isn't it amazing that we have video games that can be so rich and complicated that that can be true? I mean,
yeah, it's very much, it's an MMO version of what is going on, what goes on like in an Elder Scrolls game or a Fallout game. But because it's an MMO, they constantly are adding more and stuff like this. And there are some games, like when I played Genshin Impact for a while, there's some of that. But a lot of Genshin Impact was, well, you're really going to want to finish this part before you mess too much in the other things. It was not nearly as robust, probably because it wasn't charging me $15 a month for it, or charging me $60 in the first place. But there's just so much. I get really obsessed with my crafting. I'm becoming a very good cook in the game. But that's distracting from this. But I think I mentioned this. So some friends in my free company, which is what we call guilds on Final Fantasy, a bunch of us who just happen to be folks who get on a lot in weekday mornings, so we kind of bonded, ended up doing this whole section of dungeons that are completely optional, and also are very hard, but story-wise they come into play sort of right before you get out of the base game thing. And one of these people is very high level, and so she's way higher than this, so she's like, I'll take you guys through that for the sake of the story. Because there's ways you can do a dungeon and be like, I'm just turn off whatever requirements you have for level or whatever. I'm just going to go in. And so we've been doing that slowly over time, but it had a whole bunch of seconds. And it was a really amazing story that actually ties in a lot to, remember I told you about how like this game is literally a direct sequel from the previous one that sucked. And it's set 5 years later. This storyline gives you more detail on like what happened. And it's really fascinating. It's really gorgeous. Some amazing spots. And we just last night, like by coincidence, we were all on at night. We're like, hey, we should do that last one. And we did it. And it's a really cool story. And it really gave me a lot to the game. And they very carefully build it in such a way that it can be self-contained. So like, no characters, major characters die in there, and there's reasons why we shouldn't tell anybody what happened while we were there, so that, you know, because it's absolutely not necessary, but it was just a really cool thing, and I never would have bothered to do it, like, actually do it where it was, like, hard, because that sucks. I'm learning the hard way what is more challenging than I want in this game. Generally speaking, the non-optional things to the story quest are not hard, but there are other things you can do. And I've tried, people have been like, hey, can somebody help with this? I'm like, yeah, I'll come help. And then I'm like, I am so sorry. I offered to help. It's things where you have to start learning patterns and stuff. All right. So for phase one of this monster, we're going to have to do this. And don't touch that thing unless you're the tank, and then you can touch it, but only three times or else you get a bad debuff. And then like, oh, and we spent an hour doing this and dying. He, at one point he mentioned phase three, and I'm like, wait, there's a third phase. We haven't even gotten a little through phase one. There's a third phase to this. Yeah, no. So I have learned some lessons.
Leroy Jenkins.
I saw somebody in the game with Jenkins as a last name. Made me wonder. I do. That came up fucking twice during this insane thing we were doing. Two different times. Cause they're really nice in these boss battles and stuff where if you just sort of stay on the edge, the boss doesn't do anything. Oh. And it's not till you like run out or like cast something at them or throw something like, so this gives you time to talk and be like, okay, how the fuck do we do this? Two different times we were talking and somebody accidentally did something. The first time, as we're now all fighting for our lives, suddenly with no warning, they're like, sorry, I bumped my mouse. And then another one who's a friend of mine, I want to ask him about this because I'm suspicious, like walked up, cast a thing, and then went after the guy and then later said, sorry, I sneezed. I'm just like, what is your gaming setup? I could sneeze a lot and not do whatever that was. Like, how tightly are you holding that mouse? Like, ease up a little bit. Happened twice. I don't know if I believe them. Fun fact, due to evolution of time, at this point, if someone in an online game or whatever just types in bio, it means they are stepping away from their machine so they can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, take a bio break.
That was the first version, was a bio break, and now it has just shortened to people just say bio.
Okay.
When I was taking my first dungeon, two different times I went through it and people would say green in the party chat with no explanation. And Trish and I were like, what is that? I was like, are they saying they can tell I'm new? Like, what is that an insult to me? What is going on? And both Trish and I tried to look it up, couldn't figure it out. I eventually figured out there is a sort of a puzzle thing in the beginning where you have to go look at this note and it tells you if you're supposed to pull the green lever, the red lever, or the blue lever. But I never did it and I wasn't aware of this. So I just thought they were calling me green. And by coincidence, both times it was green was the color choice. So it's a complicated world. I know it sounds like I'm vamping here, but that's because we only have one damn email. Because you all hate us.
You all hate us.
Or at least William.
Oh, you all hate me. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah, no, I knew you'd get there, though. I have faith in that. Okay, read out our final email.
Of all time.
I mean, at this rate. Okay. Trisha doesn't like me anymore, so I don't think she'll send in fake ones like she used to.
This is from Stu.
Stu, thank you. You are our 1,000,000th customer.
He says, greetings from sunny Dallas. What's he doing in Dallas? He doesn't live there now, does he?
I don't know. What's it dated? No, not as far as I know.
He's still an Iowan, isn't he?
If he moves to Dallas, he better have told me.
This was on St. Patrick's Day. How many U.S. states have you visited?
Oh. I feel like you just know the answer to this. I feel like you've got a board or a journal or
I would something. Have that, but I don't. And it depends on, do you count states that you've been in because your plane landed there, but you didn't go anywhere?
That's the question.
Or
do you count states that you've driven through, but you literally never got out of the car?
Well, there's almost no state I've driven through where I didn't get out of the car.
Right. But sometimes it happens, especially if you get into some tri-state areas.
I hear what you're saying, but I think most of the states I've been to that aren't where my plane landed are places that I feel like I've stopped enough places in it to say I visited it.
All right. Well, we need to decide this airport thing. What do you think?
Why don't I just say that Texas and Georgia would be on my list if they counted? But if they don't, I've never been outside in Georgia or Texas. I've never been outside, just in their airports.
Here's what we're going to do, because I have a special set of skills. This is one set, one skill. I can name all 50 states in alphabetical order. Thanks to Ray Charles. So we're going to go through them right now and we're going to count because we still got a lot of time left and we have no more emails. So let's do this thing. All right. So Alabama.
No.
Me neither. Alaska.
Nope.
Arizona. I get Arizona. May. I get Arizona if you get airports. I've been through Phoenix.
Sky in June, Harbor. In June, I'll be able to say I visited Arizona, but until then, no.
Well, I'm going to count it.
Okay, you count.
Arkansas.
Yes.
I believe so. I believe we literally crossed over the border to say we had been there.
Well, I stayed in a rental home there.
California.
Yes.
Colorado.
Yes.
Connecticut.
No.
No. Are you keeping count of your own?
Hmm.
Okay. Delaware.
Oh, I have been to Delaware.
I don't think I have been to Delaware. The problem is that road trip out to the anti-gun march to DC. There were several. I don't think I've been to Delaware. Florida.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks to a lot of things involving my in-laws up in there a few times later. Georgia.
Just
airport.
The airport. Yeah. I'm not counting. Should I count Georgia?
Yes, I'm counting airports.
You should count airports. I'll count airports. Okay.
If it's got a place you can buy a keychain about it, counts. Hawaii. Very much so.
Nope.
Idaho.
Nope.
That's fine. You can skip it.
Have you been to Idaho?
Yeah. It's on the border of Oregon. If you drive east, you won't hit it. Illinois.
Yep.
Indiana.
Yep.
Iowa.
Yes.
Kansas.
No, I don't think I've been to Kansas.
Really? I've definitely been to Kansas. Kentucky.
Yes.
Only recently for me on the trip out to Virginia.
I stayed there one summer, whole summer.
Louisiana.
Yep. New Orleans. Been to New Orleans.
I have not. I should. Maine.
No.
Maryland. Yes. Because of that.
Oh, trip. Yeah. That's right. I've been to Maryland. I forgot that one.
Massachusetts. Yes. No. I've been to Boston.
Nope.
Michigan. You've been to Michigan. You've been to
and
hell.
Yep. And UP too.
Minnesota. Yes. My brother lives there. Lots of times been there.
Yep. Been to Minnesota.
Mississippi.
It seems like I have, but I don't remember. So I'm going to say no.
All right. I have not. Missouri, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Montana.
No.
Me neither. Nebraska? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nevada. That's another one where I only get on the airports.
Oh, well, no, I don't have. I've never been there.
Okay. I've been through Vegas Airport. It's terrifying. New Hampshire.
No.
New Jersey.
Yes.
New Mexico.
No.
My sister lived there for a while. New York.
Yes.
Yes, I took a bus there. North Carolina. I don't think so.
Yep. North Carolina. Yep.
North Dakota. Yes.
No.
Ohio. Yes, on my giant cross-country 3.5-day Greyhound trip.
I've got relatives there who I've stayed with, and I've gone to Cedar Point there.
Oh, you love Cedar Point.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma.
No.
Oregon.
Nope.
You should go. It's nice. Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Rhode Island.
No.
South Carolina.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
South Dakota.
Yes.
Tennessee.
Yes.
I have not, and I should.
The Wrights are from there, so I've been there to see where they used to live.
Texas.
I mean, airport, so if that counts.
Yeah.
All right.
Utah.
No.
Passed through on buses. Vermont.
Nope.
Virginia.
Yes.
Washington.
No.
West Virginia.
Yes.
Just recently for my first time. Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Be yep. Weird if you hadn't. Wyoming.
Yes.
I on the trip, my brother and I took from Portland to Minnesota.
Is that where Devil's Tower is? That's what I'm thinking, right? Wyoming?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it is.
Yellowstone. I mean, that's how I know. It's Yellowstone. I have been in 34 states. Holy crap.
That's pretty good.
That was way better than I expected.
Yep.
Last time I counted, I think it was 26. What'd you get?
29.
Oh.
29.
So what I'm hearing here is I win.
You win for sure.
I'm the better American, maybe. I don't. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, I should have been to Washington and Alaska because my brother lived there. He lived in Washington, Seattle for a significant enough. Everyone, just about everyone else in my family got out to Seattle. I did. And I don't think everyone's gone out to Alaska, but like just about everybody has, and I haven't. So
I was a little surprised about Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't been to Mississippi or Alabama. Now, Abby would add at least 4 states to my list, which still wouldn't get to 34 like you've got. But
no, wait. When you say add 4 states to your list.
Well, she might not have been to all these places. I don't think she's been to California,
so you mean,
for example.
Her list would include 4 additional states to yours.
That's what I meant, but I'm
you,
that's probably
you don't mean there are 4 states you've been in that you've forgotten. That she remembers, yet somehow you specifically remember those 4 of them.
For example, she lived in Alabama. She's been to both Massachusetts and Rhode Island when I have not. But I'm realizing as I'm thinking about this that there are states I've been to that she has not. So, like, I don't think she's got sisters who live in Colorado, but I don't think she's ever been out there. And she's never been to California. I know that for sure.
Colorado's real nice.
I was in Marble, Colorado for a while.
For a while, like you lived there?
No, I was staying there I was working for a nonprofit, and they were doing a kind of a conference kind of thing there. And I'm not remembering off the top of my head how long it was, but it wasn't like a day. It was, I mean, I stayed there for a number of days, but it wasn't like a month, so.
You've only been on planes a small number of times, haven't you?
I mean, yeah.
Or is it just that you never went on a plane until you were much older than I expected? I thought we had some conversation where
the first
plane than you, not so much.
Well, they don't agree with me. My ears won't pop when they land and it really hurts. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with them. I don't get motion sick. I don't have to take Dramamine or anything like that, even though I get motion sick. Any other time, like I'm in sitting in a chair that moves here, I could get motion sick in it. That's not even an exaggeration, but in planes, I'm fine. No, the first airplane I flew in was from Chicago to Montreal, I want to say, when that was one leg of the flight to Europe when I went to the Soviet Union. And I was forget. 16, I want to say. 15.
I guess I didn't realize you were that young on that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Were and you I didn't... harassed Marion Ross outside of a Coke machine? Am I remembering that right?
In the Soviet, well, in Moscow anyway, there were shops. They had special shops that took foreign currency. So tourists would shop there, but like ordinary Russians couldn't or didn't or whatever. So I think that's how I kind of ended up seeing her there, because there were we weren't the only Americans in the shop. There were lots of Americans in there. They had a name for these shops, and I don't remember what the name was. You know, some name in Russian.
Scam. Money launderers.
But after that,
in Soviet Russia, shops buy.
I mean, that was a pretty big deal. That for my first plane trip was clear to Moscow, but
into Marion Ross.
But after that, it was a long time before I was ever on a plane again. And it's only been a few times. I've flown down to Florida a couple times, and out to California. Did we fly out there? Yeah, we must have flown out there. Now, I drove out to Colorado. I drove. That was something else.
We took the train. I mean, I've been through Denver Airport a million times, but we took the train to actually go there.
Seems like the flights I've taken have mostly been to Florida, because there were like, I went to Florida like three times over the course of 5 years, because the one time I went, I actually on purpose wanted a vacation down there in Florida. But then the other two times there were conferences I had to go to, and they were also in Orlando or Fort Lauderdale. And I was like, wow, that's disappointing. I wish these had been somewhere else, because I just keep going to Florida.
One of our listeners went to Florida recently and is going to California next week because of conferences that are now a thing again. Did you see we all going to get another booster soon?
I mean, I did hear that.
I got a thing from Hy-Vee about it. Currently, you can only get it if you're over 50, you're moderate to severely immunocompromised, or the Johnson & Johnson one was your booster. Because apparently they have figured out that is not as good. And like, you can't get it for your second booster. The FDA has not approved that. And it has to be 4 months since your booster, but I mean, I'll take it. I am whatever the opposite of a like ignorant anti-vax person is. I'm like an ignorant. I'm like, they say I gotta get a shot. All right. Is bad stuff going to happen to me? No. Okay, cool. Then just do it. Go for it. It's fine.
Okay.
This is a thing we have in our house. Trish will get a headache. I will say, do you want some, you know, Aleve or Advil or whatever? Or if it's a sinus thing, you want some Sudafed or whatever? Unless she is just sort of at her wit's end and desperate, she doesn't want them. She is very opposed to medication except when necessary. Whereas I am like, you know what? I don't feel perfect. There's a pill for that? Awesome. Like, I don't have a headache right now, but just talking about it this much, I might take an Aleve after this just in case. I am very cool with drugs. I was gonna specify like legal drugs or prescription, but no, I'm cool with drugs.
Okay. We really are out of questions.
We are out of a lot of things. I feel like this episode, it feels like our first episode. Like,
well,
but like, probably. If somebody was forcing us to podcast and this was our first episode, like, there's a lot about this that feels like after we're done, I'm going to tell people, okay, we did it. Now give me my cat back. Like, this feels under duress, but like low level.
Well, I don't, first of all, I also have not been feeling that great for the last several days. I think because of the weather changing, because that affects me when the weather goes up and down. It's just, I can't deal with it.
I think that even a little bit me. I mean, nothing compared to my cat, but yeah.
I mean, I've had migraines pretty much every single day the last several days. And today, I haven't had any chocolate at all. So I'm kind of running on no chocolate. I usually make sure I have chocolate before podcasting because it does make a difference, as everyone can now see. But man,
why have we not put together a short film that's like an anti-drug PSA about you and chocolate? Will versus chocolate wasn't quite that. I need something where like you're all strung out and like you got a sign. Will work for chocolate.
I mean, it does feel like I run on it when school's in session. I read a journal article today and wrote the author of the article to ask questions. I can't believe I'm telling you this because now you're going to push me into a locker.
You know, I've been telling people about your reading the DSM and most of them just look really blankly at me, but Trisha's is the best, where she said, does he know that's not what that's for?
Yeah.
Have you got through it yet?
Well, yes.
Are you just at O for oral fixation?
I wasn't technically reading it word for word. I was
just looking at the pictures.
I was reviewing it to format. I was making a document to address various diagnoses in a very particular context, but I suspected there were a lot of diagnoses in there that I never even heard of. So there weren't really, most of them I might heard of, but I was, you know, in the DSM, you've got these sections that have the disorder and all of the symptoms and all of the criteria you need to diagnose. And that is in a box and it's surrounded by commentary before and after it about the thing, the history of the thing, the different research about how to treat it. And I didn't read any of that stuff. I was just reading the stuff in the little pink boxes because I was just interested in the diagnostic criteria.
For fun.
I said I was working on a document. Well, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but what was the document for?
For me, just for my personal use. Yep, just for me. And I this article I read, this was a good article because it was about, well, I'm not going to tell you what it was about, but it was, when I was done, I found a way to contact the author. And I find this all very fun and I'm going to have to stop doing it when classes start.
Did you just fanboy out on them or did you have like a particular issue? Or like,
no, I had a question. Because
actually.
No, it wasn't like that.
You said microaggression and clearly it was macroaggression.
The article was from 1994 and it was about, I guess back then, and I'd never heard of this. I mean, in 94, I was only 3 years out of undergraduate school. Carl died that year in 94. But I'd never heard of clinical sociology. I'd never heard of it. Or sociotherapy, like psychotherapy, but sociotherapy. Never heard anyone had ever said anything like that.
And clinical sociology is what you've got, right?
Actually, the article was
from
a journal.
You suffer from clinical sociology?
Yeah, it was from a journal for clinical sociology. So I just wrote her and I said, you know, and it was kind of, it wasn't really catching on, I don't think. And I don't think it ever did. So that's what I'm asking her. I said, so what happened with this? You know, you're talking about this in this article. It's a very good article. And it's all very fascinating, but what happened after that?
I want you to make a documentary about this, the bringing back clinical sociology. This will be like, I was just thinking about this one the other day, because Marvelous Mrs. Maisel has great music from the time period, but during the end credits, it always has a song from a later time period for some reason. It likes to do like an 80s tune or something during the end credits. And it had one the other night, and Trish was like, I know the song. And I was like, so do I. And I listened, I'm like, that's Paul Williams. And it reminded me, there's a documentary out there, I think just called Paul Williams Is Still Alive. And I believe the story behind it is a guy who was under the impression he was dead wanted to do a documentary about him. And in starting the process, he was contacted by Paul Williams and found out he was still alive. So then they made it. So I want you to have the documentary. Like, and I found out that there was this thing and it didn't really catch on, but I was so excited that I found the person and we brought it back. The rebirth of clinical sociology.
I have a feeling she's going to say, this has 10 journals and 6 institutes and whatever, you moron. How come you don't know anything about this?
I hope she does. That would be awesome.
I have expect her to do that.
It's like, no, it needs to be something where she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Be sure to leave me alone. Never talk about it. And then you find out there's like a secret organization and it's a whole deal.
I'm pretty sure it never turned into a thing. I mean, I just for the heck of it, I looked up any type of like graduate programs or anything in clinical sociology and there's nothing. There's nothing like that.
Well, then you can invent it.
No, I can't invent it because someone already invented it.
I'm pretty sure the copyright will have lapsed by now. So you jump on that. I mean, Hydrox came before Oreo, man. Do it. Do it. Skype came before Zoom.
All right. Good article. I'm sure I'll reference it many times in things I'm going to write in the future.
If you know about the Secret Society of Clinical Sociology, tell us about it in the blog, themagicofthetalkingad.com.
I mean, and when you say it sounds like a joke. When you say it, it sounds like
that's how,
something.
That's how most things, when I say them.
Oh, golly. Whatever.
Pay attention here. Rampant institutionalized anti-Semitism. Sounds real funny when I say it, but when other people, it's a very serious thing. It's just, I just have one of those voices. /faces.
And all my impressions sound like a Muppet. So
I know you're talking about anti-Semitism. It's terrible. If you want the podcast to go on, write in to the magical talking hat at gmail.com. Otherwise we get the hint, you know? We'll probably do one more next week to say our goodbyes or something, but in the meantime, I don't know. Go to the blog and tell us what podcast you're listening to instead, I guess.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.